This podcast is brought to you by Raycon. Take a screen break today with Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons offer water and sweat resistant construction and seamless Bluetooth pairing. And with 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. Buyraycon.com/Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The president has tapped Vice President Kamala Harris to lead the effort to stem illegal migration into the United States.
We have a president of the United States who has created a fiction about a crisis at the border.
I say my reaction to that appointment is wow, Joe Biden really doesn't like Kamala Harris. This border crisis is the biggest political mess Joe Biden has. It threatens to derail the entire administration. So what does he do? He looks to his vice president and says, you take it. It's your problem now.
Not today.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Where am I here? Let me see.
How are you getting ready for the press conference? And he said, what press conference?
You got the right code for your credit card. What was your dog's name?
Jim Eagle.
That's a darling name for a dog.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon, we're going to talk about Hunter Biden for in a while, and his problem with guns, or one gun. He had a revolver. He's old school, like me. Anyway, but first joining us on the line is Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, and we wanted to talk about guns. The mailroom manager and I had dinner with him and his wife last night. We were supposed to go to Mar-a-Lago, but the place was shut down for COVID-19, so we went to another nice place, but I wanted to have him on just to discuss some of the anti-gun hysteria that it always crops up when there's a mass shooting, and sure enough, it's back in the news again today. Toby, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Well, thanks for having me, Howie. Long time no see.
Yeah. So, and by the way, we were talking last night about Don McCaig from WXTK, and he passed on, I guess, last night at the age of 80. He was the morning guy with Ed Lambert for a number of years at our Cape affiliate, WXTK, and Toby has a show now on the weekends. And Don was a good guy, and the last time I saw him was at Cape Gunworks about a year ago, I think, Toby.
That's right. I remember he came in and said hello to you, and it was a good reintroduction for me as well, because I hadn't seen him in years. I used to do a lot of work for him, and he's a good guy. He will be missed for sure. So
yeah, he will. So tell us about the guns that the Boulder, Colorado shooter had, and how much did that Ruger cost?
Well, Ruger's probably between $400 and $600 for average Ruger pistol, or even the AR-15 that Ruger makes is still sub $1,000 in price. I'm not exactly sure what gun he was using, but I haven't been able to dig that out. And I remember when Joe Biden, when he was really pressed to jump on the gun control bandwagon, he said,
AR-556.
I don't know what gun he used, but we got to be in the AR-15s right away. So that was the natural knee-jerk reaction to that,
Right. And as I said yesterday, and we talked about it more at night, the vast majority of people that are killed in the country by firearms, well, for starters, a huge percentage of them are suicides. You can't stop a suicide, yeah. Right? And on top of that, the vast majority of people who are killed by suicide or homicide are killed with handguns, not rifles.
Right. It's the slippery slope. They have to, if they came out and said, hey, we just want to ban all guns, even some of the more left-leaning people would say, wait a minute. Like, grandpa's hunting rifle shouldn't be banned, But if they can start with the AR-15 and say, oh, this is a weapon of war, even though, there's tons of uses for the AR-15, Namely, it's the best tool to keep our government in check, which is the original intent of the Second Amendment.
Right.
And secondly, it was used for, you know, self-defense is what the Second Amendment was also for. And, you know, it wasn't so grandpa could go hunt deer. It was so that we could defend ourselves against tyranny and also people who would wish to, you know, commit harm against us. So if we can ban the AR-15 and then notice that gun crime doesn't go down at all, oh, well, then the next thing is we're going to have right. to ban handguns or, you know, shotguns or whatever it is.
It's like the millionaire's tax. The millionaire's tax doesn't raise the money they expect. So they say, well, we're going to have to go down to 500,000, to 200,000,
right.
to 50,000. It's the same thing, right? Now
yeah.
I would bet, now we're going to talk about a story later on about Hunter Biden and his 38 caliber revolver. I dare say more people are killed with the Hunter Biden's gun than are killed with AR-15s, right?
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, I think in 2019 there was 550 odd people killed with rifles of all kinds. That covers bolt action, that covers pump action, that covers single shots, that covers semi-automatic. So AR-15s are an even narrower slice of that pie. So you're talking, you know, roughly 300 people in a country of 300 and something million people are killed with AR-15s every year, and five times more likely to die by a knife or by tripping and falling upstairs or downstairs or any other, you know, means
right.
you could drown and or get
fists.
Punched in the face or
fists
you're more likely to die driving to work.
Or a shod foot. People die. People
a
get kicked
foot,
to death.
Right.
It's just
really,
ridiculous.
They don't care about keeping Americans safe. They just want to take, and you know what the sad thing is? Every single one of these politicians stand up on inauguration day or when they're being sworn to oath of office and they raise their right hand and they swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. And then what do? When they get in office, we got to talk about common sense gun control legislation, and they immediately try to tear up the document and its second enumerated right. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They yeah. shall be impeached right away for that, as far as I'm concerned.
There was a caller yesterday who was talking about how the price of ammo has just exploded. I asked you about that. Why don't you tell people about yeah. how the price of ammunition has skyrocketed in the last few months?
Yeah, I mean, over the last year, it's been a steady rise of, you know, just the supply and demand, the law of supply and demand. And, you know, we have roughly about 10 million new gun owners in America in the last year. So if every single one of them just buy one box of ammo, that's 50 million rounds of ammunition in one particular caliber. If they buy several calibers or several boxes of ammo, you can do the math. It quickly goes up. And not to mention, it was kind of the perfect storm of an election year and a lot of people chattering about gun control, a lot of civil unrest and riots and letting criminals out of prison and, you know, locking people up who go to church and everything. I mean, the world just got turned upside down. And so people are like, I actually want a gun. I never thought I'd want a gun. So they buy a gun and now they need ammo to, you know, practice and train with it. And I'll also have is for self-defense. So, and you have the people who are already existing gun owners, probably 100 million people. I would say 50 million of them are active, you know, in the shooting sports.
Right.
So they're buying ammunition all the time. And again, they're starting to stock up. So, yeah, it's been a crisis. Even the components of the bullets have been really, really hard to get.
Online, especially. I mean, online, the price of ammo has just gone through the roof,
yeah.
right? So you're better off going to...
Something used to be $10 a box or $15 a box is now anywhere from $50 to $75 a box, and I've heard even as much as $100 a box online, and it's just unbelievable how much it's gone up. And, you know, it's going to be this way for a while, I'm afraid, and hopefully it'll at least level out and plateau where it is, but it's going to be a while.
You guys have kept the price somewhat down at Cape Gunworks, right?
Yeah, we've kind of topped out at $30 a box, which is roughly about you know, 60 cents a round for, say, 9mm or 45, mm-hmm. the common handgun ammunition. And that we've tried to, you know, pump the brakes and keep it there. And but I can tell you I've ordered ammo and paid more than that, you know, and we just use it for training and for our classes and whatnot at the more expensive price, because I haven't put it out on the floor at that more expensive price. And I've been talking to some other people in the industry, and I said, it seems like it's a race to a buck a round. And well, I'm like, I got my both feet on the brake trying to keep it from going there, but it's almost inevitable. But I hope it plateaus where it is for a while.
They used to say a few years ago that Barack Obama was the greatest gun salesman in the history of the United States. Is Joe Biden going to be is he going to displace Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton as the greatest gun salesman in history?
I think he will. I think he'll far surpass him. And like I said last night to you, I think he said, he gave him a wink and an elbow like he loves to do, and he said, hold my beer, Barack. I'm about to show you something here. And if, you know, he's already eclipsed and broke every record in, you know, month to month, and, you know, just gun sales are still through the roof and very strong. And it's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. So hopefully, you know, we can get through this without any significant legislation being passed. And I hope the Senate will do the right thing and, you know, send this bill where these bills where they should go, where all bills go to die, you know. And I just don't know. We'll see what happens. But
yeah, I have more confidence that they can stop the gun bills than they can the voting rights, because the Democrats are just hot to trot. And again, this HR1 looks like it's unconstitutional. But like you say, they don't care that they took an oath to protect and defend the United States Constitution. Hey, Toby, you've got your own show now on WXDK. Tell us where people can listen to the show and what time.
Yeah, it's every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Called Rapid Fire on 95.1, one of your affiliates, WXDK. But they're an iHeartRadio station, so you can also tune in on the iHeartRadio app, or you can listen in on our website. We archive all the shows in a podcast format at CapeGunWorks.com. And we also live stream the recording of it, so if you want to be a part of the show, you can sign up on our website and you'll get notified when we're going live, and you can type in a question and we'll answer it. So if you want to be a part of the show, you can do that. So
lot to talk about.
Lot
to talk about on your show, Toby, and it's doing well. I know. So anyway, we'll be listening to the show, and I'll see you when I get back to Massachusetts. We'll be down at Cape Gunworks. I'm going to need to take some target practice and maybe buy some ammo. Before the price goes up even more. Toby Leary, thanks for being with us from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, Massachusetts. It's a great place to go for all your firearms needs. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr. There's no silencing him. They've tried.
You're not going to intimidate me. I'm entitled to my opinion.
Howie Carr.
It's not like somebody sitting on a hand-hewn table in Guatemala, in somewhere in Mexico or in Guadalupe saying, I got a great idea. Let's sell everything we have. Give it to a coyote. Have them take our kids across the border into a desert where they don't speak the language? Won't that be fun? Let's go. That's not how it happens. People don't want to leave.
Here's a big thing about sitting at tables. Sometimes he says, you know, that, you know, you're sitting, he talks about Americans sitting at tables trying to figure out how they're going to pay the bills. Today he mentioned twice illegal aliens, future illegal aliens, sitting at tables. Plotting things out.
Not just any table, a hand-hewn table.
I missed that.
It's not like somebody's sitting on a hand-hewn table.
No, it's not a hand-hewn, it's a hand-hewn table.
Hand-hewn table.
Is that Chinese?
Hand-hewn. That's like Ted Kennedy talking about Avery that she stole my mother's sacred yarn. Not an urn, a yarn. Good Lord. If people aren't sitting at their hand-hewn tables, they're staring at the ceiling. That's another one of his things. Now, today, they were twice staring at ceilings, but they weren't staring at the stars through the ceiling roof. Remember that one, Taylor?
Oh, yes.
The leak that reminded me of my days at on the island in Maine with my leaking roof. I don't like leaking roofs. I don't blame Joe for remembering the leaking roof. The only difference is my roof was really leaking. I kind of get the feeling Joe's.
I understand they worry about their jobs. I understand, like my dad, they lay in bed staring at night, staring at the ceiling, wondering.
Staring at the ceiling, wondering. How come I can't remember anything? How come I think about hand-hewn tables and my son doesn't even know how to get rid of a bleeping gun? Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It's officially spring, and that means allergy season is back. Fortunately, so is the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. That's right, BOGO is back for this week only until Sunday, March 28th. Go to EdenPure.com and enter code word HOWIEBOGO to claim your BOGO offer today. Buy one, get one free. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
What's more appalling, Cuomo prioritizing vaccine for family members or prioritizing it for his campaign contributors?
Contributors, giving it to his campaign contributors.
65% say the contributors.
Before we get to Hunter Biden, I want to mention a story that's not going to be on MSNBC. It's not going to be on Chris Cuomo's show tonight. Amid setbacks, prosecutors abandoned some claims in the U.S. Capitol riot cases. Remember, they've been saying they had guns, they were planning this stuff. It was, members of Congress were helping them out, plot where they were going to go. Prosecutors made some serious claims after the deadly U.S. Capitol attack. It was deadly for a woman who was shot down in cold blood by a Capitol police officer, saying they had evidence rioters planned to kill elected officials, suggesting a Virginia man at the building received directives to gas lawmakers, and accusing another suspect of directing mayhem on January 6th with encrypted messages. You know what that turns out to be, Taylor? What does the president say? Very fake news. It was very fake news.
Very fake news.
Okay, so here's one. Thomas Caldwell. He's a retired U.S. naval officer from Virginia. The prosecutor said in January that he had a leadership role within the Oath Keepers. Okay? And they quoted a Facebook message. All members are in the tunnels under Capitol. Seal them in. Turn on gas. A prosecutor in Florida read those words aloud in February in a bid to convince a judge to detain two of Caldwell's co-defendants. All members in the tunnels under Capitol, seal them in, turn on the gas. Well, it turns out that those messages were sent by two men who were more than 60 miles away at the time and had no connection to the Oath Keepers. The lawyer for Caldwell, the Navy guy, said the comments were apparently satirical, although tasteless, and Caldwell never responded to them. It was a joke. They were watching it on TV, and the guy made a joke. Prosecutors have made no references to these Facebook messages in subsequent indictments and court filings. Remember the guy with the buffalo horns? Jacob Chansley? What'd they call him? The shaman? The MAGA shaman or something? The prosecutors said they had strong evidence that the intent of the Capitol rioters was to capture and assassinate elected officials. They said that one day, and the next day they said, never mind, we don't have any evidence. I got one more to read that's even worse than this, and then we'll go to Hunter Biden and his guns. 1-844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I want to read you one more statement of facts that the prosecutors have been making against the demonstrators from January 6th that they've now dropped because it was total arrant nonsense. It was like a Washington Post story about the president's conversation with a Georgia bureaucrat. In a March 1 court filing, federal prosecutors said that Ethan Nordine, a member of the right-wing Proud Boys group, quote, listen to this. He said, can I have a dun-dun-dun? Ethan Nordine, a member of the right-wing Proud Boys group, quote, dressed all in black, wearing a tactical vest, led the Proud Boys through the use of encrypted communications. In other words, he was kind of like the point man for the assault, for the insurrection, through the use of his encrypted communications.
Is that a scary term for text messages?
Yes, it is, but it gets better, Taylor. This is from Reuters, again, left-wing, an outlet of the state-run media. Prosecutors subsequently acknowledged that Nordine's cell phone battery was dead on January 6th and was not functioning the entire day. That's how nefarious the Proud Boys are. They have dead cell phones, and they're still able to direct insurrections against the United States of America through encrypted communications. A judge denied a prosecution bid to jail Nordine, citing, quote, a dearth of evidence that he directed others to use or carry weapons. Considering he didn't have a cell phone that day, there probably was a dearth of evidence, right? All right, so this is the latest from the extraordinarily, breathtakingly corrupt United States Justice Department. Justice, JUST-US, Just Us Department. All right, 844-500-4242, 617. If they're retracting all these accusations, please tell us why the National Guard is still in D.C. Photo op, in one word, photo op. All right. This is from Politico. This is a random act of journalism, but like the Twitter apology to the New York Post for cutting them off of Twitter for running a legit story about Hunter Biden, this story is too late to help Donald Trump, but it's finally out there. Sources. Secret Service inserted itself into the case of Hunter Biden's gun. This is a really weird story. You'll have to bear with me. Hallie Biden, that's his former sister-in-law. She was married to Beau Biden. And after Beau Biden died, he was the Attorney General of Delaware. After Beau Biden died, Hunter started dating, quote unquote, dating Hallie. And he also started dating her sister. And so recently, or last year, Hallie stole Hunter Biden's .38 caliber revolver from his pickup truck and threw it into a trash can behind a grocery store, only to return later to find it gone, according to a copy of the police report obtained by Politico. But a curious thing happened at the time. This is 2018. Biden has been out of office for a year. The vice president never gets Secret Service protection after he leaves office, nor do his kids. A curious thing happened in 2018. Secret Service agents approached the owner of the store where Hunter bought the gun and asked to take the paperwork involving the sale, according to two people, one of whom has firsthand knowledge of the episode and the other was briefed by a Secret Service agent after the fact. The gun store owner refused to supply the paperwork, as any sane person would have, suspecting that the Secret Service officers wanted to hide Hunter's ownership of the missing gun in case it were to be involved in a crime. And people are already texting me who were in the military, and they say that he shouldn't have a gun permit. That someone said if you get a dishonorable discharge, that's like equivalent to a felony. But I think he got a general discharge. So maybe, but there are other problems here, as you'll see. The owner of the shop later turned over the ownership papers to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which oversees federal gun laws. A spokesman for the Secret Service say they have no knowledge of any Secret Service involvement. In other words, they have plausible deniability. So she throws the gun into this trash can outside this high-end supermarket where they go shopping. Did she ever see The Godfather 2. You remember the near young Don Corleone, Robert De Niro. He shoots the black hand guy. Remember that? He shoots him, and then he goes up on the roof, and he breaks down the gun, and he throws the pieces of the gun down the various chimneys. I mean, that's on TV, or they could have read my book, Hard Knocks, my novel. The hero. Yeah, you can still buy it. I think it's in print. Hard Knocks. I'm holding it up now. Page 268. You say, you know, the hero Jack Riley and shoots up one of Whitey's called Knocko. Shoots up one of his places, and he's leaving. He's running away from the scene. He's riding south in a car on Morrissey Boulevard. I kept throwing out pieces every 500 yards or so until there was nothing left. Then I tossed out the remaining bullets, two bullets, and a quarter mile later, the four spent cartridges. Again, take notes, please, Bidens. It's much more difficult to do a ballistics test or trace a gun's lineage if you only have a couple of pieces of it. Plus, juries tend to frown on parties who heave loaded weapons onto the sidewalk because, well, you know how the little tykes of all ages from 8 to 80 love to play with a new toy they've just found. I mean, I thought everybody knew this. Even if you haven't read Hard Knocks, even if you haven't seen The Godfather Part 2, you should know that. So she takes this gun, this .38 that's, I guess, loaded. She wraps it in a black bag, throws it in the trash. And a bum comes by, an older man, as Politico calls him, who regularly rummages through the grocery store's trash to collect recyclable items, and he grabbed it. So she comes back, and Hunter says, "Hey, where's my Roscoe?" And she says, "I threw it away." That's his sister-in-law, who's also his girlfriend, and whose sister he's also dating. "I threw it away," and she says, "Go back and get that gun." And it's gone. And it's gone. For the time being, it comes back. The alleged involvement of the Secret Service remains a mystery. One law enforcement source said that at the time of the incident, individual Secret Service agents kept an informal hand in maintaining the former vice president's security. Well, the former vice president is different than his crackhead son who was thrown out of the Navy for testing positive for cocaine. Now, here's the firearms transaction record that the Politico obtained a copy of. It's dated October 12, 2018. Hunter responded no to a question on the transaction record that asks, "Are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substance?" 5 years earlier, Hunter had been discharged from the Navy Reserve after testing positive for cocaine, and he and his family members have spoken about his history of drug use. I believe he's been to 7 or 8 rehab clinics. How the hell does a guy like that get a firearms license? At the time of the gun incident, Hunter was in a romantic relationship with Hallie, the widow of his late brother, Bo. The incident began when Hallie searched Hunter's pickup, which was parked at her home in Wilmington because of unspecified suspicion she had. Anyone want to speculate on what the suspicions were? 508, someone should have asked Joe this afternoon if he thinks lying on a federal firearms background check is a big deal. I thought we needed, didn't he say the other day, just yesterday, didn't he say we needed universal background checks? Because that would be the solution. So his son went through, I don't know if it's a universal background, it's a background check, and he lied. He lied. Do you think anybody else would lie? Especially a drug user who's been to 7-8 rehab centers, who's doing his sister-in-law, who's doing strippers, knocking strippers up, who's an alcoholic and a drug addict, both. Inside the truck, she's found the .38 caliber revolver. Hallie took the gun to Jansen's Market, a nearby high-end grocery store where the Bidens are longtime regular customers. There, she tossed the gun, wrapped in a black shopping bag, into a trash bin outside of the store. What could possibly go wrong when you throw a working firearm without breaking it up into a trash can.
Who would have trouble throwing away perfectly good water bottles I leave in my car.
I know, and incidentally, it was also across the street from a local high school. Later in the day, Hallie informed Hunter of what she had done, and he instructed her to retrieve the gun. I wonder what the words... He instructed her, according to the police report. When Hallie returned to the grocery store, she found the gun was missing from the garbage bin and reported the issue to the store. Can you imagine? You're the manager of the supermarket. The son of the vice president, the daughter-in-law who's having an affair with the son of the vice president walks in, the widow of the former attorney general of the state you're in, and says, I just threw a gun into the trash. It was a .38 caliber, and now it looks like a bum has stolen the gun. You think this was a bad day for this guy? The missing gun had caused heightened concerns because the school sits across the street from Alexis I. DuPont High School. So after the Delaware State Police retrieved security camera footage, and they interviewed the store manager, okay? So the Delaware State Police are there. The Secret Service is there. Now the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They took time out from searching for Lady Gaga's French Bulldogs and Tom Brady's missing jersey and the noose at Bubba Wallace's garage. They took time out from those really important duties to check out the missing gun. Listen to this. Now, this is the best part. At this point, so they call Hunter and tell him to come down. At this point, two of Jansen's employees, these are guys who work in the supermarket, described in the police report as Mexican males, walked past the loading dock area, and Hunter told the police officer that the store had some suspicious people working for it. Suspicious people. Asked if he was referring to those two staffers, Hunter responded, yeah, probably illegal. Probably illegal? Racial profiling? Much? When a police officer asked Hunter whether the gun had been used in a crime, the officer reported Hunter, quote, became very agitated. It's funny how people that are on coke and are alcoholics and smoke crack cocaine tend to become very agitated. He became very agitated with me and asked me if I was intentionally trying to make him mad. So they asked him if he'd ever called his dad about the incident, and he said, I've never called my dad for anything. Good thing he wasn't talking to an FBI agent, because that's a crime to lie to a federal agent. We'll be back to finish this up and take some more of your calls. 844-500-4242. Hunter in the case of the missing Roscoe. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
The Howie Carr Show.
201 says, was James B. Comey called in to assist with the Hunter gun investigation? 508, can we ask Dementia Joe if he's ever transferred his double-barreled shotgun to any family members without a background check? These are all excellent questions. While police questioned Hunter and his girlfriend / sister-in-law, two Secret Service agents arrived at the store where Hunter had purchased the gun, StarQuest Shooters and Survival Supply in Wilmington. The agents showed their badges and identification cards to the owner of the store and asked to take possession of the firearms transaction record that Hunter had filled out to buy the gun earlier in the month, according to the people familiar with the incident. And now the Secret Service agents, even though they identified themselves and showed their badges, they're now saying they have no record of this. So this is classic deep state stuff. And they're trying to cover for Hunter Biden by the fact that he lied on the transactions record. He lied on the background check that's supposed to solve all the problems. And you know, we don't know what kind of discharge he got from the military. It was a general, I think it was a general discharge, not a dishonorable discharge, because his father was the vice president. So I don't know if you get a general discharge, you can't have a firearm. I I kind of think you probably can still own a firearm, but he did lie about not being an addict. Palmieri refused to hand over the transaction record to the Secret Service because such records fall under the purview of ATF. The Secret Service agents left without the records. Later that day, ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, arrived at the store to inspect the records. So the owner refuses to comment. Hunter Biden's attorney refuses to comment. ATF spokesman Andre Miller referred questions to the Delaware State Police. The Delaware State Police told Politico they would have to file a Freedom of Information Act request, a FOIA. And the Delaware State Police previously requested Politico's FOIA request related to the incident last November. And as I said earlier in the day, a reporter only files a FOIA request usually after other inquiries have been rebuffed, have been fruitless. So I'm assuming they knew about this incident before the election, but they decided to give it a good leaving alone until after the election. But this is pretty embarrassing. This is another case, and again, it's another case of a cover up. It's like the Cuomos are getting away with this. You know, now the legislators that are investigating Cuomo for the impeachment inquiry are saying they're going to investigate the fact that his campaign contributors and his family got the tests for COVID-19 before the hoi polloi, but they got away with it. Hunter Biden got away with this. He's gotten away with everything else. He got away with the laptop. He got away with grabbing $80,000 a month from Burisma, a company he knew nothing in, an industry he knew nothing about, in a country he had never visited, which did business in a language he didn't understand. $80,000 a month. He's had everything handed to him throughout his entire life. And this was just another case. The case was broomed. The guy, Joe Biden, I mean, this is how the Democrat deep state operates. The guy's not even in office, and he's getting Secret Service protection. He's not only getting Secret Service protection, his crackhead son is getting Secret Service protection. And then the Secret Service gets caught, and they deny they ever did it. I'm Howie Carr.